Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, let us quieten this morning in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Dear Heavenly Father, we thy children come before thee this morning once again and wish to thank you. To thank you that we yet can dwell as children in thy kingdom. That as thy children, dear Father, we are yet able to believe our sins forgiven in the name and blood of thy Son, Jesus, whom thou hast given on our behalf and behalf of the whole world for our sins. Hear our thanks this morning, dear Father, for this greatest of all blessings. And we also thank thee for the many temporal blessings as well. For everything that we have, our food, this daily bread that you provide for our livelihoods, for our believing brothers and sisters in faith, our escorts, for this country that we live in, where we can freely gather about thy holy and precious word, and for all of our needs, dear Father, both above all spiritual, but also the temporal needs that we have. We thank you, and we also would want to pray this morning that you would continue to help each one of us as thy children on this way that leads one day to our homeland shore in heaven with thee. Help us to continue journeying in faith, battling against this threefold enemy, the enemy of souls, the world that we live in our own sin-corrupt flesh. Give us power and strength to believe the gospel, the forgiveness of sins. For this is the power, of thee, dear Father, unto salvation, that can carry one all the way to heaven. Not of our own power or strength, but that which comes from you. And we would remember those on the outside of thy kingdom, all of those that are in unbelief. Help them to find thy precious kingdom. If it would be thy will that pricked their conscience, that they could understand their condition and repent from their unbelief. All of this we ask in the name of thy Son, Jesus, and yet pray this morning, dear Father, as he has taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For our study of God's Word this morning, we'll hear from the Gospel of John, the 9th chapter, the verses 24 through 38. And yet with that prayer of faith that God would bless our gathering this morning and open His Word according to His will and unto His glory. And these words are in Jesus' name as follows. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Amen. First of all, in the beginning, would like to bring those greetings of love and God's peace from the children of God in Cokato, where I was last weekend for services there. We had fall services, and it was a nice weekend and nice services, and many wish to share their greetings back here. This text that we have before us told us of an account, and it actually starts before our text portion here, but speaking about a blind man. And today in our church calendar, the theme for today is faith and unbelief. And we see in this account this contrast of faith and unbelief. This man had been born blind from his birth, so he was physically blind. In the beginning of this ninth chapter, it tells us, And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Meaning he was physically blind. And you children, all of us, we could wonder, well, what does it mean if we were physically blind? If we were to close our eyes tight and look around, we can't see anything. I can't see the Bible here. I can't see any of you. If you were to do the same, you couldn't see. And this is what was the case with this man. He couldn't see anything because he was blind. And his disciples even wondered then, that why was this? I mean, he tells us here in God's Word how they questioned Jesus. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" So they wondered that there must have been some reason that he was born this way, that there must have been sin somewhere along the line, and this would have been punishment. But how did Jesus answer them? It tells us here further. Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." So God had allowed this man to be physically blind. And we don't know the reasons. He says that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And then he goes on to tell them that I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then he goes on to perform this miracle after he had told his disciples this. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay and said unto him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. So then this miracle occurred. This man who had been blind from his birth, he was born that way, received his physical sight. And the neighbors there, they couldn't believe it. The neighbors therefore, and they which had before had seen him that he was blind, said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." But he said, he being the blind man, said, "I am he." So they didn't even recognize him, that he had changed. And then they went on to question him. "How were thine eyes opened?" So he went on to tell them then. He answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' And I went and washed and received sight." And then they brought him before the Pharisees then. Because Jesus had done this miracle on the Sabbath day. And the Pharisees couldn't believe at all. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, "This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day." Others said, "How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?" And there was division among them. They said unto the blind man again, "What sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight. So then they wanted to call his parents there, because they didn't even believe that. How could this miracle have happened? Are you sure that this man was blind from his birth? And the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called his parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, "Is this your son, who you do say was born blind? How then doth he now see?" And the parents had to tell the Pharisees then, that yes, this is our son. We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But then they were timid also in front of the Pharisees. And they said, well, to ask him, to ask the son, "By what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age," meaning he's old enough, he shall speak for himself. So then they questioned. They brought him before he was there before the Pharisees, and his parents were there, and they called him before them. And this brings us to our text. Then again called they being the Pharisees, the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. So they thought that, even speaking of Jesus, that Jesus was a sinner. We know from God's Word, through faith, we comprehend through the Holy Spirit that our Lord Jesus was perfect, and He was without sin. The Bible teaches us this, that Jesus was without sin. But these Pharisees, they were blind in a different way. They weren't blind physically, because they could see this man, they could reach out and they could touch him. But they were blind spiritually. They were blind that Jesus was the Savior. And they had all these questions. They thought that Jesus was a sinner, and they questioned that. How did he do this? How could he have done this? Was he some sort of prophet? And this blind man, he answered and he said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. So then they went on to continue to be technical and question him, well, how did he exactly do this miracle? And we can see here in our text that how this blind man then was given words to speak to them. He answered them, Have I told you already, and ye did not hear? Wherefore would ye hear it again? So should I tell you again, in other words? And they weren't happy with him, we can see. They reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. And here again, dear brother and sister, we see this contrast. They had no time for the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus. But they were in their self-righteous zeal. We are Moses' disciples. That they knew the law and they studied diligently, and they were these disciples of Moses. We know that God spake unto Moses, As for this fellow, they were speaking of Jesus, we know not from whence he is. So they were blinded. If we think of this topic of faith and unbelief, and what is faith? God's Word tells us, the Bible tells us further, writer to the letter of Hebrews, we could even find that part in God's Word, devotes an entire chapter speaking of this matter of faith. And in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then, For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then this 11th chapter goes on to give accounts of many of the former believers, Abraham and Isaac and Abel, Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. So by faith, Noah built that ark. By faith, Abraham, when he was called out to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. And these many, many examples from the Old Testament, how these former travelers journeyed in faith, and they trusted God. And further in the New Testament, we see another example of, we know there's many examples from God's Word, but an example that also comes to mind in the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John. Jesus was with his disciples. And it tells us here in the last part of the chapter 20 how Jesus was with them. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said thus, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." And how did Thomas respond here, brothers and sisters? He told the disciples, but he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." We see this example, and this is close to all of us. This is the old portion, the sin corrupt flesh that we all carry as people. Thomas had, he's been called in the Bible Doubting Thomas. And he told the disciples here, "Except I see it and physically touch it, I'm not going to believe." And so then Jesus came later. After 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." And did Jesus cast Thomas out because he had those doubts, or he had felt that way? What does God's Word tell us here? "Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." Jesus didn't cast Thomas out, but he was there as his Savior, the Good Shepherd. He was there to help even Thomas to believe. And we see then that he told him, "Be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas then was able to believe. And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they which have not seen and yet have believed." This is our prayer this morning, dear brother and sister, that each one of us could continue believing. We have been given this precious gift of faith, just as it was given to this blind man. He couldn't explain fully, but that he could understand this, that before I was blind and now I can see. And he went on to tell them that since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And these Pharisees then, again we see their condition of their heart. "Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?" So they said, "You're nothing but a sinner, and yet you can tell us?" They were blind to their own sinful condition. They're in their unbelief, which we also know is the mother of all sins. And so they cast him out then from their midst. It says they cast him out. And again we see, dear brother and sister this morning, that did Jesus leave this blind man there cast out? No, he didn't. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, so he went and found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. So here this blind man not only now received his physical sight where he could see with his eyes here, but he received spiritual sight. He received living faith that he could believe upon the Lord Jesus, the Lord of life, the Good Shepherd. And as we think of this gift that he received, each one of you, dear brother and sister, has been given this same precious gift of faith. That it is nothing that you have done. Nothing that I have done as believers. But through God's grace. And perhaps even this morning, one has come here with heavy doubts, heavy trials, perhaps wondering that, am I even yet believing? This morning, dear one, be assured and be comforted that your sins are forgiven in the name and the blood of Jesus. And believe this gospel unto peace and freedom and joy. We do not need large amounts of faith. Jesus, in another place in the Gospels, teaches us that if we had the faith of a little mustard seed, and I haven't personally held a mustard seed in my hand, but I've tasted, and probably you have too, some of that hot Chinese mustard, that it's really spicy. And it's powerful. A little bit tastes, really awakens our taste buds. And Jesus made this comparison that if we had the faith of this little mustard seed, we could move mountains. So, dear brother and sister, be comforted this morning that your journey yet continues heavenward. And all that is required is this desire that when we examine our heart, it is good if we would, that how are my matters? And when we can find that in spite of my many sins, in spite of my many doubts, in spite of the trials that I'm in, if we're asked this question, that do we still want to believe, when we can answer that in spite of all of this, that yes, I still want to believe. I want to get to heaven. This is all that the Heavenly Father desires, dear brother and sister. Just as this blind man, he was a simple confession of faith. The Bible doesn't go on to tell us here of all of the understanding, but just that he may have had. He didn't have to have great understanding. It's this simple confession. Lord, I believe. This is the simplicity of faith, dear brother and sister. And there is a distinction between faith and unbelief. When we have faith in our heart, the Holy Spirit dwells then in our heart as the comforter, the teacher. And later in this Gospel of John also, when Jesus was going to be departed, when he was going to do that work, when he was going to be crucified there shortly, he was with his disciples and he knew that his time was approaching where he would go to the cross. He was visiting with them, and in the 14th chapter of John, there's verses here that tell us about this in the 16th and 17th. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And here we see again this example how these self-righteous Pharisees, they didn't know Jesus because they didn't have the Holy Spirit. And it is only through the Spirit then which reveals all things. And further in this Gospel of John, he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So when we are believing, dear brother and sister, the Holy Spirit dwells in our hearts and dwells in God's congregation, this living congregation on earth. And as these words that Jesus spoke, teaches in all things. We hear from God's kingdom. We are warned of the dangers of sin, where we are taught to flee sin and to put sin away, to not allow sin to build on our heart and on our conscience. For this is what separates man from God. Unforgiven sin leads to unbelief. And this is, there is a great gulf between faith and unbelief. And that the only way to come from unbelief is through believing the gospel, the forgiveness of sins in the name and the blood of Jesus. And we can rejoice that through the Holy Spirit in God's congregation, this living congregation, when we hear about sin, we also hear, dear brother and sister, do we not, that how We do not need to carry these sins on our conscience. That how we can be freed from them. How they can be washed in the name and the blood of Jesus. And they can be buried in the sea of grace. This is the message from God's kingdom, from the Good Shepherd. That sins are forgiven in the name and the blood of Jesus. Believe unto peace, freedom, and joy. We see here how it was kindled then in the heart of this one. And he worshipped him. When he was able to believe, to behold his Lord and Savior, Jesus, joy was brought into his heart, and he worshipped him. We have a good and a gracious God, our rich and loving Heavenly Father, dear brother and sister. This morning as we are here at services, you can yet be uplifted and encouraged to continue traveling in faith, endeavoring to put sin away as sin attaches. And day by day, moment by moment, gather those blood drops of Jesus. It pays to believe, and we have a great reward that waits for every child of God. That day when Jesus will come and gather all of his children from the four corners of the earth. And we will then no longer have any doubts, no longer have any trials, no longer have any sins. But we will, our faith, this faith will be changed to seeing, and we will be able to be there with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and all of the former saints, those believers who have passed away in living faith and wait to be reunited with all of God's children there in heaven. They have gone before to glory. And one day, we have this promise that we can join them there in heaven. So be uplifted and encouraged in your walk of faith, dear brother and sister. We all have our stations that we are currently in, whether you're young children in school, older believers in the workplace, whether we are married with families or single people, grandparents, grandmothers, grandfathers, we all have our place in life that we're currently in. And with that comes our own individual struggles that we know personally, our own weaknesses and our own places that we are more tempted than others, but even here, dear brother and sister, as you look beside you there in the church bench, you have escorts, fellow believers, that fight the same battle, have the same journey of faith, and who, above all, can preach the gospel, can assure you that sins are forgiven in the name and the blood of Jesus. So yet in closing, be uplifted and be comforted. Leave all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. In coming to this place to serve, I feeling my own poorness and my often cold feelings and many sins and doubts, would ask to hear that same gospel. Can you, brothers and sisters, bless me also? I would also ask that you would remember me and my family in your prayers. And our brother John Letla, less than 2 weeks here, we're scheduled to go to Ecuador, and we would ask that you remember us in your prayers on the journey there. And Jesus' name, amen. Let us quiet in closing prayer and benediction. Dear Lord, bless us and keep us. Dear Lord, make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Dear Lord, lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.